Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, July the 11th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me is my co-host, Pastor Reimnitz. How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing fine. Drying out. How about you?
Drying out? Why, do you have a storm over there?
No, we've been storming earlier this week. We've had between 2 and 4 inches of rain.
Wow. Yeah, I saw some areas in the United States where flooding had taken place.
Oh, 8 to 10 inches in those areas.
That's something. Which leads us into our topic for today about, we have one of those weeks where bad news comes along like a trip hammer, one right after another. Big issues, small issues, serious issues, minor issues, and they all pile up. What do they feel like?
Like a sumo wrestler is standing on your chest.
Boy, and that's called anxiety. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 12, verse 25?
Anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down.
Boy, that is something a pastor needs to recognize at a worship service, that you can have a number of people who have such anxiety in their hearts that they are weighed down. As a Christian, there is a verse from Philippians 4. What does it say?
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Yes, that's the promise from the Bible. And yet, the thing is, you have attempted to do that, and your anxiety is still there. Instead of being anxious for nothing, you're becoming anxious about everything. And that's you right now. Don't feel bad. You're not alone. Go ahead.
Just a second. You know that Philippians 4, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For years, I always ended my sermons with that verse.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you have hit the purpose of a sermon is not only to give them new revelation, but also to give them comfort. How does that verse give them comfort?
Well, we're guarded by Christ Jesus. He is God's peace. There's people talk about peace all over the world, but it's only the peace that we have in Christ who's died and rose for us.
Yes. Now, current polls tells us that anxiety disorders are the most common mental illnesses in the United States. How many adults does that affect?
About 40 million adults and about almost 20% of the population.
And What is there about young people?
Nearly 50% of those are between the ages of 18 and 24 that have a depressive order and anxiety. You know, a lot of that came out of that whole COVID situation when everybody went to their homes and not out on the streets.
And there were a lot of deaths.
Yes.
What is there about women?
Women are more than twice as likely than men to experience anxiety disorder.
Yes. And I can understand that with how the women's liberal movement has grasped many women with anxiety. It's kind of a feeling that poet W.H. Auden depicts well in his Pulitzer-winning poem, The Age of Anxiety. What does he say?
Fear, doubt, aloneness, disorientation, and in the extreme case, dread and hopelessness.
Boy, if that isn't the opposite of the Christian's point of view. With such a climate of anxiety and fear on the rise, how can a Christian practically approach the threats and stresses in the life that cause anxiety and overcome them? What is the biggest enemy of anxiety producing fear?
Well, death is really the number one producer.
Yes. You've likely heard jokes about the number one fear people have is public speaking and death being number two. But I'll bet no one ever put that to the test. Line all those fear of public speaking people up and tell them they have to deliver an address to an audience right now, or a trap door will open under their feet and they will plummet to their death. Which fear do you think they'll overcome?
Well, death is really the number one fear and can produce a great anxiety. So I would say that it'd be death, and they'd get over the fear of speaking to people right away, and death would be number one.
Yeah, if your doctor told you have a life-threatening disease like cancer or something similar, so fear grips you, but why? Are you afraid of the disease itself?
Well, I think you're afraid that you're going to die, that your time is now coming to an end.
Yes. Philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau said what?
He pretends to look on death and not fear lies.
Yes, that people who are thinking about death and say, I'm not afraid of that, they're really lies. But why are we afraid of death? Is it just ceasing to exist? That's doubtful. The Greek philosopher Epicurus once remarked,
what men fear is not that death is annihilation, but that it is not.
Yeah, that's really important, that even he realized that death won't result in us going out of existence. And that's what we fear. Innately, Epicurus knew what?
Well, the first clause or God that brought us into existence. And after this life comes the next, where we stand before a holy God, which can be anxiety.
David even wrote about that in Psalm 38. What did he say?
Well, I am full of anxiety because of my sin.
Right. And that was the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, what did the writer of Hebrews say?
It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
That's the attitude that the world has when they think about death. Not that they're going to go out of existence, but possibly they're going to fall into the hands of the true God.
You know, and does that also account for all these man-made religions we see out there, where they try to work the way to heaven to placate the angry God?
Exactly. They're living under the law, and they think that by their obedience that they will be rewarded with heaven. But that doesn't work. Why?
Well, you never know if you do enough good works. It's always like your last good work. Well, I once read about Muslims doing good works. They try to book their years together, like make sure that they do 51% good works. That would outdo their bad works, but they never know where 51% is.
Yes. So there's no doubt that with David, he is full of anxiety because of sin. But here comes a cure for this and all anxiety. And that is the truth. What is that truth?
Well, it's the truth, mercy, and love of God. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It also gives us the good news about Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross that rescues man from judgment.
And what does it grant us?
Eternal life. Jesus summed it up in John 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die.
What is the most important word in that verse that Jesus says who he is?
The resurrection and the life?
Yes. That's where Paul underscores the great news when he writes what?
Well, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than that, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
That's a great summary of the Christian faith. That because of the death of Jesus Christ, we are justified by his blood. We receive justification for our sins, forgiveness for our sins, even though we don't deserve it. because of the love of God in what Jesus Christ did for us. That's a real miracle.
You know, it means a lot, especially for an individual that as they try during the course of the day not to sin and they fall into sin and they're reminded that Jesus has saved them.
Yes. And once more, we're talking about promises from God that saved us. They're reflected in three parts of what Paul calls the armor of God in Ephesians 6. What are those parts?
The breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, and the belt of truth.
Yes. Putting them on every day, what does that help us?
Well, it helps us overcome any fear and anxiety that we may have about death is going to the Word.
Yes. So these three things, the breastplate of righteousness. What was a breastplate used for in the army?
Well, it was a shield. Someone would shoot an arrow at the breastplate, and it would bounce off.
Well said. And then the shoes of peace. What was important about wearing shoes?
Well, so that you could walk great distances in somewhat comfort. The most well-shoed person at the time of Jesus was a Roman soldier that had a thick piece of leather that they walked on.
Yes. So, standing before God in that righteousness would not be a disaster, but it would be a disaster if we stood before God in our own righteousness. So, what difference does it make having Christ's righteousness?
Well, having the breastplate of Christ's righteousness allows you to look God in the eye with confidence that He's not going to be angry with you because you're covered with the breastplate of Christ.
Yes. So while the fear of death or a similar set of anxiety does sweep Christians off their feet, the shoes of peace allow you to stand because they represent the peace with God that's occurred because of Christ's sacrifice for us. That's why the cross of Christ is the center of Christian faith. What did David write about that in Psalm 58?
For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living.
Okay, you're thinking. Great story. Sounds wonderful. Sign me up. Just one question. Why should I believe any of that? Doesn't the famous physicist Stephen Hawking, what did he once say?
Well, heaven is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark.
That's really critical. He, of course, didn't believe in God, and so believe that heaven was a fairy story because we are afraid of the dark. but something happened 2,000 years ago. What is found in the Middle East?
Well, an empty tomb that testifies that to Christ and that his gospel is being real. You know, as we talk about it, what reminds me of when you go to the bedside of a Christian who's lived a long life and is dying, and the family's all around there, and pastor comes in and gives the devotion, and you can hear them say they're at peace now with the individual that's passing on.
Yes, there's an important verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What does it say?
Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
What's important about that is the reason people are in anxiety over their death is they realize they're sinners. And the power of sin is the law, which gives the impression that unless you are righteous in your own righteousness, then you do not want to meet with God after death. And that's what causes them fear. So Jesus obeyed the law perfectly, and therefore that shows quite a difference. How is Stephen Hawking wrong about eternal life with God being a fairy tale for people afraid of the dark?
Well, and the Christian apologist John Lennox responded to him by saying, atheism is a fairy tale for people afraid of the light.
That is tremendous. So while the world is afraid of death because of the dark, atheists are afraid of death because of the light. They can't believe that what Jesus did was sufficient. But let's rewind. Because of Jesus' work on the cross and the resurrection, what do we have with God?
Well, we have peace with God. We stand before him in Christ's righteousness and not our own.
And therefore, what will we enjoy?
Eternity with him, and thus you have no fear of death because Jesus frees us from that. It reminds me of the time that I did a devotion with a member going through very serious surgery. And they were very anxious about it. So we had devotions, confession of sins, absolution, and prayers. And I still remember that the lady saying that she's at peace now and she's ready to go through the surgery.
It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 2. What does the writer say?
Jesus has freed those through the fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives.
Yes, slavery of the law. So we take a breather with theology and admit something important. There's a lot of human emotion involved in facing the fear of death and anything comparable. But the last thing we want to come off with is a flippant idea when facing those kinds of giants. What does Psalm 102 aptly say, as it's entitled, Prayers of an Afflicted Man?
Well, you see lots of emotion woven into the text, but you see something that's greater to that end, that man saved by great theology.
And what is the great theology that Jesus talked about instead of salvation by the law?
Well, it's salvation through his grace, through his living and dying and rising for us.
Salvation by the gospel. That's what the essence of the Christian faith is. That's the distinction between law and gospel. And we'll continue with that subject on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.